What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
You guys see this movie together?
Yes, we did.
We did, yeah. It's been, what, 2 weeks now, maybe?
We saw it opening weekend, because I was like, I gotta contribute to that gold open.
We were out of town,
yes,
and we didn't want to see it there because they were like, no one has to wear masks at all there. So we were like, we can't do it here. So we raced back early so that we could see it in California, in Los Angeles, California, yeah, that night with masks.
Right, where you're supposed to wear masks, and people, you know, still don't because they
still don't. But you're supposed to. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you're supposed to wear it.
Yeah, I felt like most of the people in our movie theater that night were wearing masks.
Oh, that's good.
But the people right next to us weren't.
I saw it twice.
The people right
next to you weren't.
Yes.
We tried to move.
Were they eating popcorn, or were they like just not wearing?
They didn't have concessions. They were just maskless. We sat down next. They were already maskless. The movie hadn't started yet. They were like, "We doing this? We're."
I'd have snitched. I'd have got up. I'd have saw him, like, pretend like I'm getting popcorn. Hey, these two niggas in here without masks. Get them. I ain't playing that.
Yeah.
The Delta is real. Okay. Mm-mm. You ain't about to get me with the Delta. No, no, no. I saw it twice. I saw on Thursday.
You saw it opening.
Because you know, like, I guess, which I never realized. Yeah, but I guess like now, instead of doing like the midnight screenings, they just start movies.
Yeah,
Thursday,
right. They've
like
been doing that for the last six, seven years.
Oh my God. I guess I haven't done it in a minute. But I saw it. It was packed. We saw it the first showing at Universal.
So
it was packed. And then I saw it again with Bray like the next Monday, I want to say.
Also,
and that theater was kind of packed too.
And I also feel like people weren't wearing not everybody was wearing their masks.
Yeah, the woman next to me wasn't wearing a mask, but then I realized in the middle of the movie, she was making out with her girlfriend, and I was like, they have a whole different vibe going on right
making
now.
Making so out
like, yeah,
in a
they
movie
had no concessions.
In a pandemic is a vibe.
Yeah, man. They're like, listen, we outside.
It is interesting, because it's like, I don't know, like, I got A-list again, and so like I haven't been seeing as movies as much as I probably would normally, but I have seen several movies. But also, like, sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll be like blah blah, but yeah, like I'm not gonna go see a movie, you know, and I'm like,
yeah, right. Yeah. Listen, I need it, I don't care, I'm going. I'm going, screw that noise.
Yeah, that's like the main thing
that
I hear too. And
won't.
it's very awkward, because I'm like, well, do I say? I mean, they must know that I've been doing it. This is all I talk about. All I ever talk about is seafood.
That said, I don't know when anything's coming out.
Like, I'm
going
to be in there.
You know? I feel like I don't know. I don't know what movies are out right now. I don't know when things are coming. I truly thought Dune was coming out in the summer. And now I'm like, oh, it's not coming out to the winter? What's happening? Like, I don't understand.
I want to say it's like, is it not like in 2 weeks or something?
Yeah,
Dune's coming out.
It's soon.
Yeah. Like Dune, you gotta see. Dune, you gotta get her. Hold on, wait.
Yeah.
Right.
Dune. Ghostbusters comes out on November 11th.
Yep.
Oh, Dune is like 22nd October. I thought it was closer.
Wait, November 11th?
Yeah, I've been waiting for Ghostbusters.
Why is Ghostbusters coming out not in October?
It doesn't make sense. It needs to come out on Halloween, but it's not. I think there's a couple other things coming out, and they were like, cool, we'll just...
I think Dune comes out late. The 22nd, and they were like, we don't want no smoke with Dune. Give it 2 weeks.
God bless. It should come out... I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it should come out against Halloween. Like, it should come out at the same time as that.
And then Eternals come out at the end of November, right?
Right. So people are just clearing for Dune because it's gonna be pretty epic.
I mean, I think it's gotta be. The visuals look insane. I mean,
no, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's gonna be like huge. It's gonna be like Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Honestly.
I'm trying to track it. We gotta track it. Are you saying?
Yeah, man.
I know.
Is 10 the number?
It's forced.
What's that?
What is the rating system? Like, it's...
No, I'm saying it's going to be like an event. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, it's going to be something that people tell tales about, like Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Okay.
So he just changed the tracking on you, James. He was like, he just tried to switch it on you. You know,
I see. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not trying to switch anything. I'm explaining that when Dune comes out,
I heard you.
Okay, just seemed like
everybody gonna be talking about it. Okay, everybody gonna be talking about it like it's Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Why are you pausing?
Dramatic effect.
Can we start?
All right,
I'm embarrassed by this. Can we just start now?
Hey, man, we can start the show.
Jonathan Raylock,
James the Third,
Jerome Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is?
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Black actors.
All right, all right, all right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City!
Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. Okay. Yeah.
Keep going, James. Keep going, James.
Such a lovely place.
You got it.
Plenty of room at the Hotel California.
I feel like you're off the. I feel like the tempo is
what
different.
What a nice surprise!
It is a very
what a
different
nice
tempo.
Surprise. Bring your alibi.
See, I feel like I feel like Braylock is on it. Melissa said we don't have
the
rights.
The whole thing was muted.
We don't have the rights.
Don't have the rights, James. Don't have the rights.
No, oh my God.
I've sung so many songs.
James, also, why'd you sing that one and not A Whole New World?
Oh, do they sing that too? It's been a couple weeks
because
I've seen
they
this
ended
movie.
On Hotel California.
You're right. You're right. And that makes sense because they worked at a hotel in California.
And they mentioned that song like 3 times in the movie.
Hotel California?
Yes, brother.
It's what Awkwafina. Is that what she goes?
Yeah, when he first met Awkwafina.
Yes, yes.
They got into a fight and
it was a whole
sang Hotel California as a distraction. Then when they're on the roof or they're on the scaffolding.
The scaffolding fight.
Somebody tries to attack her and then she sings Hotel California.
Then they
sing Hotel California. So it was it's an integral line, element.
That's right.
Of the movie.
All right. Okay.
Well, for those of you who don't know, this voice you're listening to right now, the one that sounds
stop this
presidential, the one that you hear and you're like, maybe in 4 years, I might vote for that guy.
What?
In 4 years.
You know, because I won't be eligible for 3, but then you want at least 1 year. You know what I mean? Just give a little.
Why?
My name is Jonathan Braylock.
My God, that's so long. My name is Gerard Milligan.
And my name,
nigga,
is James the Third. I'm going to bring that back.
Do you have to?
I'm going to bring that back.
And all right. Well, we're three silly people. But we do have a guest in the studio today.
Uh-oh.
Returning guest. How many is this?
Five, how many is this?
No, I think it might be three. It's like three or four.
No,
no way. It's certainly four.
Oh, wow. I think this is. I think you're in the five timers club now.
Oh, snap. Do I get a robe?
You're the first one.
It might get you a cup.
Member of the five timers club, right?
Right. Because Phoebe, did Phoebe ever make it to the five timers club?
No, Phoebe's at four. She's at four.
Phoebe's at four.
Mm-hmm. Damn, Phoebe's at four.
And I think Tess is at four, right?
I don't actually know. We got to go track
this.
I think
I'm five. I definitely think I'm five. I think it was Wrinkle in Time, The Farewell.
Okay.
Raya. Crazy Rich Asians. And then this one.
There it is. Five Thomas.
Oh, man. We got to get some swag.
Five Thomas Club.
We got to get some swag. We got to get a song.
I'm feeling pretty special, I must say, you guys. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yo, honestly, thanks for coming back. That's fire. Get that.
Well, we review, you know, films with leading Black actors, but also actors of color. And we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Ooh.
It might be pronounced Shang-Chi. Is it
Shang-Chi?
Just putting that out there.
All I was going to say was I'm going to be the asshole saying Shang-Chi if everybody else is saying Shang-Chi.
I'm pretty positive that's like, he says it like three
times. That's how he says it in the movie.
Then that's what it is.
How do you say it? Shang-Chi. What is it?
Shang-Chi.
Well, because it was like Sean, like he's Sean. Name is Shang-Chi.
Yeah, Sean, Shang.
Shang, yeah, you're right. That's what it is, Shang-Chi.
But I just listened to Dax Shepard's podcast and he was like, Shang-Chi, and was like, Awkwafina, that's correct, right? And she was like, yes, thinking that he was joking. And then he started to be like, the whole interview, like, okay, so Shang-Chi. And she was like, oh, I thought you were joking. That's not how you pronounce it.
That's so awkward and hilarious at the same time.
Pretty positive it's Shang-Chi, but now I feel like I need to look it up.
You are correct. It is 100% Shang-Chi. Sean, because they made a whole joke about the Sean. This is a Marvel movie, part of, what is this, phase four?
It is phase four.
It might be the first one in phase four, I think.
Wasn't the Spider-Man movie the first
one?
No,
that was technically the end of the last phase.
This is first. I keep forgetting about Eternals. Good God.
Black Widow was the first
Black
one in this
Widow.
Phase.
Black
no,
Widow.
No, but wasn't that like, it's in
no,
it,
it's
but
in
it's
the,
separate?
It's in this, even though it's in the other timeline, it's in this phase. So Black Widow was first.
Okay. All
right. Okay, well, that's confusing. So a movie that came after the timeline of the last movie of what should be phase three is the actual end of phase three. And a movie that comes within that timeline is the beginning of phase four.
Yep.
Even though it's not actually in that phase.
Correct.
Great. Good job, Marvel. I'm just kidding. We're going to keep watching their movies no matter what.
I don't know. I think I'm very curious because I'm very curious on how long they can hold it. Because I like superhero movies, but I'm also like, all right, how long can this go?
Box office wise, they're holding it because this movie has already made $267 million worldwide. Woo-hoo! Made $75 million opening weekend. That's in a pandemic.
Yeah.
It costs about $150 to $200 to make. So it's already made its money back.
Every time I lose interest, they do something that makes me need to see the movie.
Yeah.
I don't even think I'm gonna see that Spider-Man movie. And then Mysterio was like, the multiverse. And I was like, God damn it, Mysterio.
You're like, I gotta see it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you pronounce his name? Is it Samu?
I've heard him say it so many times together. I literally was practicing it before this.
Well, then do Simu it, Lee. Draw.
Simu Lee. Simu Lee. Is that how he says it?
There Simu must Lee. Be a way we can look this up, you guys. We all have the internet right now.
No, but I feel like it's definitely Simu Lee. I'm pretty sure. But like, yeah.
L-I-U is pronounced L-E-E. Lee.
Simu Lee, I'm telling you.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Well, you know him from the television show on Netflix, Kim's Convenience Store. Have you seen it?
Yes. We haven't seen it.
Oh, it's good.
Is it?
It's very funny.
Is it? It's really good. Good for him, yeah. Man. Good for him. Wait, I'm sorry.
And then, of course, Awkwafina.
The famed Awkwafina.
And many others. And what else do I need to say about this movie? It's about a man. A man who his father is this kind of legend who has these 10 rings that have these powers and nobody knows where it came from.
Simu Liu. There we go.
What's that?
He just said Simu Liu. I'm looking at his GQ interview. He just said his own name. Simu. I knew it was
there. What is it?
Simu Liu. Let me say it one more. Let me play it one more time.
Simu Liu.
Simu Liu. What is it?
Liu. Liu.
Yeah, Simu Liu. Simu Liu. Yes. We did it.
We did it, you guys.
Wow.
We did it. I love the dad.
The listeners are like, I can't with this.
Wait, I said what his name was. Whatever, man. I was prepared, goddammit. Sorry, go ahead, Brett. What were you saying?
What was I saying? I was just talking about what the Legends of the Ten Rings are. Were you familiar with the actual comic of this at all?
The comic, as far as I knew, was like super racist. Like his dad in the comics is actually not Mandarin. His dad is Fu Manchu, which is like super, like he looks racist. Like his dad looks racist. And you know, he was kind of like when Bruce Lee was really big. So it's like, I think they really reinvented him in the last couple of years, especially so much so for this movie. But like the comic itself, it kind of was the same thing as like Luke Cage. It was like based on stereotypes.
Yeah,
to 100%. So it's kind of like you might literally who he is in this movie is almost nothing like the comic.
Got it.
Yeah, it's like
it says that on Wikipedia. It says he's also known as the master of Kung Fu and Brother Hand.
Yeah, like he has no superpower in the comic. He literally is just like a Kung Fu person. So I'm happy they changed that in this because you can't have the first Asian superhero just doing Kung Fu. I was like, what is this? So yeah. He's new. I like it. He's newer, fresh. Fresh takes. Fresh takes. they had to update that shit. And also
I mean, it's cool that a Marvel superhero can just be, you know, a man who has skills versus like someone who like flies to a different planet.
I agree. I think they were having a tough, like by the end of it, they definitely don't make him average. And I think, I don't know, I read this one interview and it was the dad and he was like, yeah, man, you just can't have, I forgot how you said it. He basically was like, you just can't have him be regular because in Marvel, they have those like tiers of superheroes. And like, even though Black Widow and Hawkeye are like superheroes, like no one really be banging with them because they just don't have no powers. So you can't have him, like you can't have him not have powers. You know what I mean? Like Black Panther technically has powers but doesn't, and so it's like he's not even one of the higher I don't know, so it's like I'm happy they gave him a power just so
the 10 rings, you mean?
Yeah, so it's like something.
So
yeah.
Was the 10 rings a part of anything?
Yeah, it's the man, it's the Mandarin's, is so the 10 rings, the Mandarin was technically Iron Man's bad guy and he had 10 rings that kind of looked like Thanos's like gauntlet, so they made it physical rings and this to make it look a little different, even though I don't understand the powers in the movie versus with the rings, or I don't know, they look cool as hell. So I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, they looked really cool. Yeah, I fully forgot the Mandarin element that they did in Iron Man 3. Mm. Like, I had like fully erased it from my memory. Everything, all of that, the whole thing, the whole like, you know, impending Ten Rings and like what it meant.
When he was talking, and, like I was hyped when that joint came out at first. But I loved the dad. We had to shout him out because he was fucking great. Tony Leung. I was like, yo, this dude. I even went back and watched one of his old movies, one of his old like, I don't even know if they were action movies, but like action dramas. Like, I don't know, but he's like, he did this movie Internal Affairs, which is fantastic. I think that's what they kind of stole when they did that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson. Can't think of the name of that movie right now.
The Departed.
The Departed, yeah, because that was like a remake of an Asian film. I think it was the original Internal Affairs they copied. But anyway, he is fucking great. Anyway, let's start, baby!
All right, yeah, let's get into this actual movie. That's so interesting, though, to know that it's just completely departed from the comics in any way, which is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of comics that were super racist, they kind of, like legitimately, the only reason Black Panther looks like that is because it got rebooted by Tallahassee, like, in 2010. Like, all that stuff is, because they all were super racist. They all were so racist. Yeah, they were so racist.
So, shall we do initial thoughts?
Yes. Who wants to go first, though?
Initial thoughts. I was very blown away by this movie. I did come at it with high expectations, but I really loved how much I cared for so many characters. I really thought the character development was really great, not just on our main hero, but other side characters as well. I really loved how the world was built for me. I love all of the Chinese mysticism, some things that, you know, came back from like my childhood fairy tales were brought to life on screen. So like my little 10-year-old girl inside me was really excited. And yeah, I just thought it was like a very entertaining movie while also making Asian actors and leads something that could be normal in Hollywood, which was really, really exciting. So yeah, I completely loved it. I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I can go next. Yeah, I like this movie was so fun for me. And you know, I've been talking about superhero fatigue on this podcast and in real life for a little while. And actually my expectations for this movie weren't like that high just based off of that, but I was like surprised at how much fun I had and how it felt like, even though most superhero movies follow a kind of a standard formula, so it's never like that, like you know a little bit of like what's going to happen, it still was interesting. I feel like the characters were kind of complex in this way that not a lot of these superhero characters really are. It's his father is a very complicated figure who's like kind of a villain and then like not, but like, you know, it's interesting. And like he's not really a superhero, right? He doesn't have that kind of like, oh, like even when I was a kid and didn't have powers, I was like protecting the weak, you know, it's like, it's not that at all. Which was kind of fascinating. And like, and even though this movie obviously has like, you know, Asian culture and influence from this kind of, I guess not even from the source material, just like taking that, it was, I found it fun that it was kind of like, it was like, he's both like an immigrant and then also just like a typical, like an American, like, you know, millennial, like not like in a job that's like, you're like, is this what's going to, your life's going to be? You're just like a freaking, you know, a valet. But he's like, so he like doesn't really know what he wants to do, but he's having fun. I don't know. It was just like that. It was just a lot of interesting stuff that I feel like we don't always see, which made for a really fascinating movie. And I have really no idea how he's going to fit into this Marvel world, but it's definitely like another fun character to add to it, you know? Like, I'm after watching this, I was like, oh yeah, I want to see him more again. And Awkwafina, like, even though it doesn't necessarily make any sense why she was also invited along, like, I also want to see her more because the chemistry between the two of them was really great. So yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I also just had a great time. Like, it's a shame I watched it so long ago. I'm struggling to recall a lot of stuff, but I don't know. I had a really great time. I really liked the story. I was super interested in like in what was happening. I love that like the dad was like this conqueror who decided to like, you know what? I'm going to stop conquering now. Like for family, I'm going to stop being an all powerful conqueror of the world, you know? that stuff was really cool. I thought Awkwafina was super funny. The fight sequences were so awesome. They were like so thrilling. And I'm often like, you can be sort of like dulled by those things, you know, like super, if the fights are too quick or, you know, or like they're not in focus or whatever, you know, they sort of like wash over you. They did a really cool job of like picking when to, what the pacing is like and fun settings for the fights and all of that stuff. So I had a, that was fun. And then I just really liked sort of like what you were saying, Bray, that like there is sort of a formula to this stuff, but it was really, I thought it was really unique the way they wove these sort of pieces into it. Like, you know, I'm just a sucker for complicated father-son relationships. So like their journey was super interesting, building up to their like final fight. I really loved all of that stuff. Michelle Yao, why is she why is she always in movies for 4 seconds? This is my thing. I love her so much, and I feel like I've seen her in 3 movies in the last 2 years where she's like in 3 scenes.
I know. It's just like,
well, she's like a legitimately you know, to make the movie more legitimate. You know, she's kind of like the.
Yeah,
the vet that they bring in.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, "And look, we're gonna, you know, you can work for 4 days." like I'm sure she did more in this, but it's just it's just a thing that I've noticed, and this isn't a problem with the movie. It's just a thing that I've noticed lately that like because she is such a powerful actor and fighter, and you know, and I wanted more of literally everybody, and the movie is over 2 hours long. I don't know how to rectify that, but anyway, I'm rambling now.
Hey,
but
man, she's still alive and she's still in the universe.
That's very true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aid. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
I am very happy this movie exists because I remember, again, watching this movie to me was like watching Coco. And it was like, not so much for me, but like looking around the theater, especially when I went that Thursday, it was so many kids in there. And I'm like, this is the thing. It's like, for instance, you know, I was hesitant to come even do this podcast because I was like, I know there are people who don't like Black Panther, but for me, it's like, even if you don't like it, there were a lot of Black kids that saw it. Like, I will admit, like, I did enjoy this movie, but I personally don't think they did Shang-Chi, the character himself, and that actor enough justice, I think. I think, like, he did have a through line, but, like, his sister and his dad, it was so... His dad, literally, I was like, yo, I just need to see his movie, yo. I was like, I need to follow that dude. Like, it was like, because he was so genuinely complicated. And then a lot of the emotional arcs with that father-son relationship, for me, a lot of the Shang-Chi parts were told in flashback. And then you kind of had that one really good moment when he's talking to Awkwafina. But then even then, how that shot, we don't really get to see his full face, to see him like really go through that emotion. We see Awkwafina. And then he even gets up. I guess he cries. He gets up and he walks and his back is turned to us. So like to me, it was like a disconnect, and I like that guy in real life because in real life, his interviews are so fun, and it's like you can tell how much that, like, literally, it's like watching a fanboy get on. You know what I mean? It's like, I know everyone talks about the tweet, which he's like, stop talking about the tweet, but like the fact that he tweeted that shit 2 years prior and then ended up getting the job, and like, I just felt like they could have did him more justice. Like, I thought the sister had a little bit of a stronger arc as well. I really
think like they separated and took some stuff away from him, which I think he really is capable of doing. But other than that, I was like, yeah, man, this joint fun as hell. Like, they didn't overuse Awkwafina. which I was very nervous about. I was like, please don't just have her in here cracking jokes nonstop. Honestly, I think her emotional arc in this was honestly just as good as in Farewell, because she did hold a lot of the emotional core, and even she was doing some of that emotions with jokes at the same time. So, and honestly, at the end of the day, they set him up on such a good such a good way. I'm like, bro, my man about to be in here fighting with the Avengers. Yeah. And my theory, I think I told Bray, my theory is that the rings are calling Galactus. That's my theory. Okay. And that'd be because in the
right, because they set up like whose rings are these?
Yeah, because in the comics, it's Fing Fang Foom, which is a dragon, and there's no way they're gonna have another dragon. So I'm like, what is another?
What if it's a bigger dragon?
I mean, it could be. It could be, or it could somehow link to Eternals, but they didn't link it to Eternals. So I'm like, maybe it'd be Galactus. And I'm like, that'd be cool. So yeah, man, it was fun. Yeah. It was fun. Saw it twice.
I've actually heard, I posted that I really liked Shang-Chi right after we saw it. And someone said the exact same thing you said, Dara, which is just like, they were like, yeah, why is he a, so it's something like he's a passenger in the movie. Like, it's like things are happening around him, but he's not. That wasn't my takeaway, but I know that people, that's how, you know, a lot of, and to your point of like, it's like the dad is so interesting. I think a lot of people felt that way too.
Or you need it, I guess for me is you just need it. I needed adult him and his dad to have the scene. Like whether it's when he finally took him back and then he like flipped him real quick. I needed them to like either talk it out, not talk it out, either his dad to whip his ass real quick. And then at the end of the movie, he can come back and like not beat his dad. Like, or him and his dad like solve the beef and they fight the dragon together. Then the dad then sacrifices himself. It's like I just felt like the actor and the character didn't get the opportunity
to reckon with it. Yeah.
His sister gets them out of the prison. Like he doesn't do the thing that pushes the story. And I'm like, he is good enough that I've seen him. Like, I know, I don't know.
I feel like that's more of a story choice. Cause to me, his character's arc is the fact that he's not doing anything. Like, it's the fact that he ran away from this situation, didn't take his sister, and then kind of like coasted through life. Like, he didn't like, it's not like he went and found another purpose. He was just kind of coasting like Awkwafina's character. But maybe even Awkwafina is like, maybe her thing is more intentional. Like, you know, they, in the beginning of this movie, I guess we can just get into it, right? Like the beginning of this film, well, we'll talk about the kind of like the legend that they set up, but after that we kind of see him and Awkwafina, and they're just like valets, and they're like driving those people's cars. And then, like, you know, when they go over to Awkwafina's mom's house, you know, before they get there, they're talking about the fact that like, oh yeah, my mom's gonna say like, you know, why don't I have a real job, you know? But like, this is what I want to do. Like, I'm doing what I want to do. And he's like, yeah, me too. And I feel like we're supposed to get the sense that it's not actually what he wants to do. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really doing it. And then throughout this film kind of learns to like, not just run away from his problems, but like stand up to it, confront his dad, you know, he has to train, obviously. And then eventually, finally, like, it's like, it takes all that for him to finally like save the day at the very, very end, with the help of everybody. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like the beginning of the movie really sets up, you know, the mysticism and also just introducing us to this character. And I really liked how they kind of do the shot of like a really successful Asian man coming out of like this huge like Ferrari or something. And it's like, ooh, look at this guy. Like, he's so cool. And then he like throws the keys. And Shang-Chi is the one that catches it. And is like, hey, man, I'm going to be your valet.
That is super funny. Because we like know that that's not him because of promotion and stuff. But there is still this moment where they're like, let's do this freak out. Like, let's do this. Or this full misdirect.
Yeah. And then... and then they go to Awkwafina's house, right? And there's just so much in this scene that I've heard other Asians be so excited about. Number one is that he takes off his shoes. You guys, it's just the biggest thing. And people are like, if Shang-Chi, a superhero, can take off his shoes before coming in, you can take off your shoes before coming in my house. The big thing, take off your shoes. It's like respect of someone's house. It's COVID times. Don't bring that stuff into someone else's house.
It's not COVID anyways, in the movie, though.
I understand.
They deal with COVID in the
I understand. But I mean, I grew up, my mother's Chinese, but like I grew up where like we have outdoor shoes and we have indoor shoes. We had outdoor clothes and indoor clothes, you guys. My family does.
I agree with that. Don't be sitting on my couch.
You know, yeah, anyway.
Tessa's big on that. No outdoor clothes on the bed.
Same. I don't do that. I don't play that shit.
Mm-mm. Well, good. Very good. Mm-mm. So, yes. So, and then, yes, I think there's a little bit of a generational thing of like, hey, you know, my mom's going to talk about why don't we have real jobs? But I also think it's a really big immigrant thing. Mm. And it's like, I can talk from like, you know, an Asian kind of perspective, but I just feel like when I talk to anybody who's like second gen, it's like, or first gen, you know, it's very much like my parents did so much to get us to America. And so if I'm just like a valet or not a doctor or a lawyer or something with, you know, a lot of letters after my name, you know, my parents are going to be like upset with me or like, I'm very lucky to have parents who, very much are supportive with my artistic endeavors, but I know that my mom, you know, like very much felt pushed to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that.
I did like that part. I mean, it's interesting because even, I guess, skipping back, I'm sorry I'm gonna keep talking about this dad. I just think he's so good. Like, the movie opens with his story, and it's narrated by his wife, Shang-Chi's mom, and it's something that was so beautiful about it because the choreography in this scene when they're fighting, yes, it was like the wire work that has been prevalent in martial arts films, but it was like, to me, it was different in that you're watching two people court one another with those slow motion clips. It was beautiful.
So gorgeous. Gorgeous. Oh,
it was beautiful. And to me, like, that is what I thought was so cool. It's like, it was taking this art form that we've seen and that we know. Like, I'm pretty sure people are like, oh, Michelle's in this movie. Of course, like, you know, Crouching Tiger, like the wire work. But like, to see the facial features and like, to see the moment where he fell in love, the moment where she's like, you ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? But then still whoops his ass. It's like that I thought was so fantastic. I just wanted to shout that part out because it opened on such a beautiful note.
Yes,
and I was like,
thank you.
Oh my goodness. There was literally one scene where you could tell like they got in close and then she kind of wraps him up and then he kind of reverses it and he does a little smirk and he's kind of confident. And then she just literally tosses him across into a tree. And I'm like, that's the shit I'm talking about, baby. Anyway, I love that scene.
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of martial arts films myself. So this is something that I thought was cool about this, but I don't know how, I'm not going to say it's something that doesn't happen in other martial arts movies, but it's something that I liked about this was how the fights continued to progress the story in that sort of same way. Like you watched almost every fight, you learned a new thing in the fights. I mean, the first fight that Sean has, you learn, oh, he can fight. Like, we don't even know that he's a martial artist at the time. And Awkwafina had no idea, right? And I think it happened shortly after this first scene, right? Yeah. Like shortly after the scene as we progress, there are just more and more things that happen story-wise within the fights. I thought was cool because it's like, you know, to me, it's like you're not just watching for the sake of like, you know, kicks and punches, but like,
I really loved how you could like the Shang-Chi's mom, right? Like for a moment, like you see that she kind of controls the rings and you're kind of like, ah, like what's happening? Or like, you know, like if he's so powerful, like what is this other power that she controls? I think it really shows like the dark and the light kind of aspect of what they go through throughout the whole movie. And, you know, and also like if this kind of dark and light power creates somebody who is our superhero and also the sister, I think that's like a great way to kind of start putting little seeds into the audience. Oh, yeah.
And
brain.
I mean, again, and then we get after that scene, we get the bus fight. You know what I'm saying? That bus fight was so cool because I'm reading about it right now, and they were like, they're trying to pay homage to like Jackie Chan because that fight
felt
very Rumble in the Bronx.
He had to like make sure people weren't getting hurt, make sure he wasn't getting hurt.
Yeah, you know? I liked it.
And then keep the bus going. You know?
I thought that, and also Zach. Our boy Zach Cherry's in that jump. You know what I'm saying? Zach Cherry's in there. Yo, Zach Cherry's about to be Stan Lee.
Doing the vlog, the live Instagram.
Do you think he's the same character from Spider-Man? Or is it just, or they didn't, you know?
I don't, only because he sounds so different. He's not doing the bit.
Do a flip.
He's not doing the, he's so mellow in this. That it feels like, okay, he might be somebody.
It's whatever we wanted to be. Maybe he went through a pandemic and he changed.
I was very happy.
You know, he reflected and he has a new way of life. And now he's like, I'm just going to
die. I hope he shows up in another movie.
All I want. Yes. All I want is for like one of those, a scene with a bunch of different Zach Cherries in it.
Amazing.
One scene where we have like a window to the multiverse and we see like 15 Zach Cherries
just talking and knowing each other. I mean, again, this bus scene I thought was so cool, and it was framed so well because, again, it felt very Rumble in the Bronx. Like, even how at one point he does the very cool thing, pops the jacket back on, which felt very Jackie Chan like. I thought at one point he was gonna punch and do the shit. You know how like Jackie Chan lets you know this shit hurts? You know what I'm saying?
That it hurts.
I thought he was gonna do that, but it felt like he was about to. But that fight was I think was my favorite fight. No, that's not my favorite fight. That's my second favorite fight. Him fighting the death. It was a quick one. Him fighting the death death dealer in the club is actually my favorite fight. Because
there were some really good fights in this film, like we said, and they all were different. Like, that first one between the dad and the mom was like beautiful, but it was like, it was lovely. And then like this, like, bus one was very like Jackie Chan-esque, like, but like fun and funny. And like, you know, like it was just like a great set piece, you know, like them just on the hills of San Francisco with this bus, like crashing everywhere. And then the one after the club, because when they're in the on
scaffolding,
what do you call those? Yeah. Scaffolding, yeah. Like that was really cool too. I wanted to say one quick thing. I guess this is like a dumb nitpicky thing, but I just wanted to mention it because I was thinking about it when they were telling the legend of the Ten Rings in the beginning. There was a part of me that was like, wait, if this guy like ruled the world, like what happened? Like they kind of left that part out. Like, I was like, when was it? And then when did his empire go away? And then why did it go away? And then it was like, he went, like, by the time he went to see the mom, it was clearly like future day. But I was like, what was he doing?
My thing about it is like the movie to me is more of like about the family. So I honestly don't even address the Ten Rings in this movie because I think they were trying to update it, but I don't understand any of it. It was just more like, this family is cool as shit and we're just following this. I don't know how the rings work. I don't know what the powers were. I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, but then also neither do they, right?
The dad is supposed to, right?
The dad has an understanding of it for sure, but he may not know everything it does, you know?
Well, the way that It's clearly very different from the comics, because in the comics I was reading that the rings have like each ring has a separate power, and they're looks like much, much more powerful than these rings are. That said, these rings are more interesting because even though I couldn't quite figure it out, it just there was something of a sense of like he could control the and they're really bracelets, not rings, but whatever. But like he can control. Well, they were right. They're a bracelet.
Oh my goodness!
But he can control the rings. You know,
right, Ray, we know what bracelets do. We know how bracelets work.
We understand what you're talking about.
Bracelets.
No, I'm
but
just
like,
saying.
You know, the shape is
yes,
a ring.
Thank you, Kat.
Yeah, the shape
you.
Of a ring, ring, just bigger, no, no, which dude. Is a bracelet.
Oh,
no,
my God.
That's not the point. Okay.
Okay. Saturn's rings are a belt,
James,
right? I mean,
James.
They go, okay,
yeah.
They go
no,
around.
I mean, these were like sonic rings.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there it is. See?
They were like sonic rings. And he could control them, and they had like a force to it, you know, that you could shoot. You can like shoot that at people. You could also like step on it because it like could hover, you know? So there was like, there was something to it. It made it interesting. I always like powers like this that like don't quite make, they're not, it's not like elemental. It's like very specific, but then you go, oh, well, how does a person use that to the best of their ability? You know, it's like, they have to be innovative. It feels like a Green Lantern kind of, you know, a ring kind of power, you know, where it's like the more imaginative you are with it, the greater power you can possibly have, you know, with it.
Just to skip along, it's like, I love when he's like, I gotta go, like my sister, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm coming. And it's something about the scene that made me laugh. But also, again, it just showed how much Awkwafina's grown. It's like that scene is definitely funny when she's like, I'm coming. You can tell me on the plane. And then she storms out. But it was so interesting because the scene was comedic, but her character was so dead serious where I was like, oh, it's such a level here where it's like, I'm your friend. I ain't going to be pissed at you, but I'm mad. And you're going to tell me this shit on the plane.
Right.
And that, of course, they had the wonderful joke on the plane. And I love that, you know, intentionally they had him pronounce the name correctly. So everybody watching it being like, she's like, Sean? Sean? Yeah. And I was like, yes. And they did it three times. Had him say his name. And I was like, good job.
Yeah, and I still said it wrong at the beginning of the play.
It's fine.
Almost everyone has.
They're like, idiots. It's
I mean, literally. But again, the sister, I thought, like, this sister was so fucking dope, man. Like, this sister, the fact that she had her own club, and then when she shows up, I love that she had the opportunity to, like, not knock him out, but still did it. So quick, she was like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna let this go, and just knocked him smooth out. And the whole time Awkwafina is under him, like, that placement is great.
But also we skipped that Wong was there with Abomination, and they
also
were... what did they
yeah
did
they rigged the fight.
That fight, like, what was
I
this?
Do not understand. I hope that comes back. I also love that Wong has been in three movies, and the movie to me he has the most energy and most fun is Shang-Chi, because like in Doctor Strange, he's like playing second fiddle to this white dude, so he's like very serious, like, don't do this, don't do that. But in this one, he got to let loose. He's literally singing karaoke at the end of this motherfucker. I was like, yeah, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was super fun to see him this way. Yeah, it was like really great to kind of see him be a looser character.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
It is like, I hope, I really hope he becomes like Agent Carlson or something, where he's like kind of throughout the movies or something. Cause I think he's like really good, and like he's still powerful. So like I hope they like really start to use him a little bit more in this new diversity phase four.
What are you talking about, Benedict Wong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ronnie was so funny.
Oh yeah. Ronnie was in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. He was
what did he say?
Too.
I can speak ABC.
He said, I can speak ABC, which is Asian-born Chinese.
I know the theaters went crazy.
I mean, so, not Asian-born, American my goodness
born
gracious.
Chinese.
Hold on. American-born Chinese.
I know both times the theaters went nuts when he said that. And I was like, oh, this is something I don't understand, but great. American-born Chinese. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I mean, I think it can definitely be used in two ways. Like, it can be kind of used in a derogatory way, and it can also be used as like a inner circle way, you know? And so like for sure when he said it, like, you know, I felt that way too in the theater, that it was a very inner circle, very much like, yeah, like we're talking to the right
very
people
nice.
Here, you know. But it can also be used like, you know, oh, you don't know this because you're Asian.
Okay. Well, right. I like the positive.
But
that was
also
fun.
That's sort of there's something funny about specifically this guy using that term regardless of which way it means, like, right? Because he's just like this you know, Fight promoter. Club, like, promote. Yeah, he might mean the derogatory way. Like, yeah. I speak ABC too. You know, like, might, yeah. It's that's I, not having not known the what the what
also
the
like
behind
the club
was.
Had all these fun. Kind of Easter eggs. Like, they even had like some of the bad guys that were in Iron Man 3 who you thought was working for Mandarin, like that. I forgot that drug, that whatever, that bad guy, and they people like glowed orange or some shit. Like they were fighting as they were walking through. And this is what I meant. One thing I really liked, and I really saw it in this scene, like Awkwafina's, I like how they made them friends, but friends that could be more, but it wasn't so heavy handed. Like if I watch Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man Homecoming, clearly, you know that like, Zendaya and Tom Holland are like going to be a thing. Whereas in this movie, I genuinely don't know. They could just be like friends for a long time, even though like the grandma's asking when y'all gonna get married. At one point, she puts her head on his shoulder. At the end of the movie, his head is on her shoulder. And it's just like, it's like literally your best friend that probably will be more, but like they're not even rushing it. And I thought that was actually like super cool. Even her seeing him shirtless for the first time, I thought it was like, this is a very fun scene, you know?
Yeah, that was really funny.
Also, it makes no sense why he's shirtless. Like, Ronnie's like, take your shirt off. Why, dude? Like, why is he shirtless?
Because we got to see him without his shirt on because he's a superhero.
It makes sense.
Someone pointed out that, like, I don't know if it's a Marvel thing, but, like, the men can't have hair on their chest. Like, no Marvel superhero male has ever been shirtless with, like, chest hair. And I'm like, is that a thing? And I didn't notice it until this movie. I was like, oh, shit. They always.
My question.
Probably action figures,
yeah.
Right?
Because
they have to look like
that's
action
right.
figures, and you've never seen Ken and Barbie. You've never seen
that's
Ken
real.
Have a hairy chest.
But that's my question. Like, when did the art start? Because I'm sure there's probably some art that includes facial hair.
It's probably
hair
the bad guys get chest hair.
Some of these.
It's probably.
Yeah. Facial hair.
Chest,
I said
it's probably
chest,
the bad guys
hair.
Get chest hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's so interesting. But anyway. Thought he was great. Love when he has that conversation with the sister and like she comes to kind of save him at the when they're on the scaffolding. I don't know why. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I went on a Twitter stalk of her and the dad and this is like one of her fairly new movies in America. And I was like, yo, she's not like a martial artist. Like neither is Simu. And they all kind of like literally learned during this process. And I saw he did a Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
She's
amazing.
It's
so crazy. If you
She's
go
so
to his,
good.
If you go to his TikTok, he has a TikTok video, saying, "Yo, I couldn't touch my toes. I couldn't throw a punch. Like this, literally, is the process." And then you saw him, like as he was training, he even did like short films or short videos, him and his friends of like action choreography. And I was like, I love that. Like they took it so serious that they both. It looks flawless to me. It looks. Flawless, and he's in a lot of right. those shots. Like he is, it's not, it's him.
I was gonna say, like he's in them, but they're also,
yeah.
They also are.
Some of them are a little cutty, right? But the thing is, like for the most part, he is doing a lot of it. That's what I liked. I think we've gotten kind of spoiled. At least I will say myself, I like martial arts films. I think we kind of got spoiled with movies like The Raid and TV shows like Warrior, whereas like fucking martial artists, and that camera is locked, and it's just. And it's locked off and you're just watching this brutal fight to prove that they're doing the fights. But he did good. He did. I mean, they both did great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really did. They really did a great job.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they learned for this.
Do you imagine how fun that must have been? Like your job is to train.
I mean, but
it's also a lot of work.
Yeah. Like grueling, like really, like I'm feeling like I'm feeling tension in my muscles and
but
like
your job.
Like
it's fun for but you, but not
come
for
on,
everybody.
Man,
baby. Some people would your, not like that, and I don't know who.
Come on,
I don't
man.
Know, I'm
even,
not.
Didn't
I don't
even
know.
Like. Didn't even Kumail say like after he like got the muscle that he got like that?
I mean,
it was
it's
miserable,
probably terrible,
but
because
you
don't get to eat what you want to eat. Like I saw like Brie Larson, like she is. Shredded beyond belief right now. I mean, she's pushing Jeeps in the first movie. I'm like, God knows what she can like probably fucking lift one of them jumps now. So like I don't think it's fun, but I, like your job is to have a trainer and your food and you get to fight.
You're not wrong. That's amazing. that
I mean,
would be so
I gotta
cool.
say, it has to feel good to at least capture that on camera to look to be in that peak physical condition and be like, I look like that once upon a time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I want to be 80 years old and looking back and be like, look what I did.
I'm trying to be like 70. I was reading this thing where like they were interviewing Jackie Chan and he hasn't really done the fights, but he had one film. I think it was like it was kind of a drama. What was it? The Tourist or something? Where like his daughter gets kidnapped and he does some fight scenes. And it was like, yo, he is, I think, close to 70. But when we, at least myself, when America learned about him, he was already in his 40s doing Rumble in the Bronx. So he was already an older man, just like whooping ass. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, I'm trying to be like him and Keanu. Like, let me be 60, still out here snapping necks and like twirling motherfuckers around. Like, that shit's crazy. Anyway, sorry. That shit's so fun. And then,
I mean, well, then essentially at this part of the movie, though, they just get caught. They get caught. They get caught at this moment. And I thought this was great. Like the fact that they get caught.
Well, the dad shows up and they're like,
dad shows up
so early. Yeah.
And the dad's just like, I told my men if they ever caught up to you, they wouldn't be able to kill you. And I'm glad that you proved me right. Like, that was so cool. And then this whole sequence of like, them eating family dinner, all quiet.
Oh, that scene was so good. I didn't know anything about, one of my friends was talking to me because apparently his name is his English name. And so I didn't know the history of having like, when he's like, yo, what's your Chinese name? And he says his. And I didn't know that was a thing. I always knew like people try to Americanize names to make it sound easier. But I didn't know legit you would still have a full Chinese name and a full American name. So that scene was like, oh shit. I had no idea that was a thing. And I was like, that's a cool way to like put that.
It feels like we were like raw. I mean, like I'm just speaking from my experience, like for people who had to come over and then they like changed their name or like just adopted an American name just so people could like say their name instead of us being like, oh, we'll just like get used to other people's names and then it won't feel foreign to us because we'll actually practice learning, you know, other cultures' names. But we didn't get to do that. Like we had so many Korean students in my high school and they all just were like, all right, this guy's Ralph now. And this guy's, you know, Jerry, you know, it's like, but that wasn't their name.
I mean, I just have an American name. I don't have a Chinese name, but my mother does. And it really does, you know, I mean, again, I'm only speaking really from talking to her, but like, it kind of messes with your sense of identity.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And like the feeling, especially when you are an American born Chinese, like you kind of are like, where do I fit? You know, do I fit in this world or do I fit in this world? And I always have to try to become something that the other people will understand and also accept. Yeah.
And her American name was like something like Mary Margaret, right? Like it was something like
So my mom's name is Baoting or Baoding. And then her American name is Mary Margaret.
Mary Margaret.
It's so interesting because I've heard that like my girlfriend's Jamaican, so when you go to Jamaica, you get a whole nother name. And I've heard friends like that almost from every country. And it's something that bothers me because I remember someone was talking about like Kamala Harris and how people kept mispronouncing her name and how, you know, interviewers, people always think these ethnic names are so hard. But yet anytime I see a white person with a hard ass name, Timothy Chalamet, you do not know how to say that name on paper, yo. Like,
Timothy Chalamet. What was it?
Motherfuckers don't mess his name up.
Oh, okay.
Saoirse Rowan, like people don't fuck her name up. And it, Saoirse. See, who gives gives a shit? But you know it. That's my problem. Motherfuckers know how to say her name.
I've messed her name up so many times.
You can say her name. We collectively had to look up the star of this movie's name at the top of this goddamn podcast. And it's something that is like, I'm a part of it. Even though I fuck up everybody's name, clearly. But it's a thing where like people will make sure to pronounce a white person's name. But if it's an ethnic person, it's like, it's so difficult. How do we say it? I've watched Simu do so many interviews, and like everybody will say his name differently. And you just see him, he will sometimes correct them, or he'll just smile and go, stupid. I know what he's thinking.
Yeah. I don't necessarily buy that it's only what, because there are white people who have names that like I'm pretty sure like Brett Favre. I actually still don't know if Favre is the correct way to pronounce it. It's the way that everybody does pronounce it. But then there were also people like, it's like Favre, like that's the name, right? Like,
right.
There are white people who like also have names, especially last names that like, you're like, I don't know how to say this name. And then it like, whatever, it becomes adopted.
I was going to say a pointless anecdote, which is Mike Birbiglia's, one of his jokes is how like, every time he gets called up to do stand up, people don't know his name. And like, they'll be like, coming to the stage, Mike Birbiglia. Like, they won't say his name. But honestly, obviously, there's clearly, you know, a larger problem when the name is an ethnic person or a person of color. But
yes. And the problem to me is that, and this is what Jarrah is speaking to, is that, like, I do feel like collectively America is like, we don't want to learn your name, how to pronounce your name if we don't know how to pronounce it. And then it's kind of, it's like, it's one thing to not know how to say it when you're just reading it, because it's like, it's different. Mm-hmm, it's a different mm-hmm, language, you know, like different spellings, different pronunciations. Like we speak, like even the English language is weird. You look at certain English words, you're like, how I pronounce this? It doesn't phonetically make any sense. But then we don't like remember people's names because they're not said enough, or like even like, a, you know, it's so funny because like we definitely are not great at this, but we're not necessarily like doing interviews with people, right? Like it's weird to do an interview with someone and not know how to say their name, but it happens.
Yeah, it's certainly worse. It's certainly worse than what we're doing.
Sometimes we'll try to look up like YouTube videos where to find the people's names, and then they don't know, like those people aren't saying it right.
Right. Yeah. Like the YouTube pronunciation versus like, you know, or like if someone introduces someone in an interview, but then they didn't say their name correctly when they introduced them.
So that was fun. I don't know. But that just made me question.
Yeah, but I liked how in this scene, it is just like a family dinner, and yeah, it's awkward. But then it's more about the really complex character of the dad, which is like he wishes to not be the villain. Like he's like, hey guys, like help me with this, you know, like you guys can be part of this, like you know, you and your sister, you can both be part of helping me save your mom, and like. I'm not the bad guy. I'm just trying to save your mom and like come on this journey with me.
When they set up the reason I was like, God damn it, Marvel, you've done it again. You made me, I love this villain and I don't want him to go down the wrong path. Please. And at the whole time I was just like, save him.
That's so cool. I was like, this dude is so innocent. And Okay. This gets into the thing. I thought if you look at that dinner table, how the sister reacted, I think I wanted a little more from Sheng, because when you see her, her face is so conflicted of like, what the fuck was going on? But like, clearly Sheng is upset, but like, he's only upset. Well, that's what it feels like to me watching this performance. It was like, I am only upset at my dad. In the scene when he shows the whole water and the pathway, he still is immediately upset with him versus like he didn't get upset after the dad said, we'll just burn it down. He was mad already. And I was like, it would have been nice to be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Is this real? Like, is my mom coming?
Well, I think that's why he was mad though. I think he was mad because he was like, his thinking is, why are you even trying to make me believe that my mom is still alive? I know she's dead. I saw her die.
Don't try to make me think
that my mom's alive. She's not.
He had to witness it. Yeah.
We don't know these details yet.
That's why it does make it confusing during the scene, because you're like, well, we don't know how she died. or if he was there or whatever. And then when you see the scene, it makes a little more sense because you're like, oh, not only was he there, but he feels like
he's responsible.
He's responsible as a kid. And then the dad didn't really, the dad kind of was like, we kind of are.
But did.
And we also don't know, at this point that he actually went through with the killing yet, right? Like at this point, we don't know that he,
that too.
And so like he has, there's so much anger that he just has towards his dad. And that's why he ran away, right? Like he ran away, left his sister, didn't come back. But we don't know it yet. And I do think that that makes it, you know, to anyone that is watching the movie going, why isn't Shang-Chi progressing the story forward and like, and doing more things, you know, it's because they choose to withhold so much of that.
I guess that's a part of the disservice where it's like eventually after this scene, like we learned that the dad, it's not even after the scene. It's at the start of the last fight when the dad was like, you watched. So then we get that moment of the dad being like, this all was your fault. But to say that Shang went through this movie thinking it was his fault, I hear y'all and I like that. I just don't have any moment that I'm like,
I agree. I think you're right. It just didn't make sense. What you guys are saying makes total sense.
I'm just like, to me, it's a different movie. It's even if he's talking to Awkwafina, he's like, yo, man, I should have done something. And like, that is the thing he held the whole time because he's opening up in other ways. But that is what you guys are saying is a very good take. I think I just wanted to see the hero go through that like defeat. And like, so now I know like what you're trying to get out of. You know, even though I'm looking at Spider-Man or something like that, he's like, I can never live up to Iron Man. You know, like I know what the hell, by the end of the movie, something's going to happen where he has to like physically overcome the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like when I'm watching Black Panther, it's like the whole thing. Dad, I don't know if I can be a good king like you. And then he has to do the thing.
Right. I mean, we're not at the end, but I will say from just my point of view, I do feel like he did that. I feel like
with him and the dad,
it
was like standing up to his dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he had to not only confront his dad, but also like be okay. I mean, and maybe this is just a Chinese thing, but like, man, to not only confront your dad, but take your dad's power. That is so intense. And I know, I'm sorry that I'm like fast forwarding to the end. But it is so intense to take, like, you need to, you know, in the Asian culture, like respect to your elders, even if they treated you badly, is huge.
Right.
And like, you know, you respect your elders until they die. And then even when they die, like you have the Day of the Dead, you have everything. Like your life is about making your parents proud. Like it really is. And so like, the end for him to not only like, okay, this is who I am. This is who I'm meant to be. I'm my mom and my dad. The combination of that, I'm going to stand up to my dad and not only stand up to him, but I'm going to take my dad's power. I'm going to representatively take his power of the rings, and the rings choose him. There's like a moment where the rings choose him. And so the dad has to be like, damn, like my son's ready. And so, but even that moment of non-communication, of them looking at each other and the father being like, shit, like it's your time. And then him having to be like, yeah, dad, it is. And I have to take this away from you.
Yeah.
I was so confused by that.
And like, I'm not gonna lie. And I was like, what the hell is happening right now?
I thought it was such a huge moment.
How he was able to do
it. I was like, how is this happening? Like, I was like,
well, the mom did it.
Yeah, the mom did it. The mom did it, but the mom didn't
hold it.
But they set that up. And then I think the thing that they also set up that I thought was really cool was when they're this is in the sequence. And what was the name of the land that his mom is from? We don't have any notes. Talo. Yes. When Michelle Yao's like, you
It lives within
your,
you.
It's in you. You're both your mother and your father.
Oh, so I
then,
loved it.
So
I
then
loved it,
when guys. They so then when he is there and he is able to get the rings by also doing the traditional martial arts that his mother was doing, right? Mm-hmm. That was a thing that I was waiting for him to take the rings the whole time. But when they set up that it was like, it's about you accepting the parts
who you are
and both parts, that I thought that was amazing.
Again, it's about identity. And like, that's a huge thing. And like, again, being Asian American, but like, it is like not only being okay with who you are, but accepting every part of who you are. So accepting that you're part of your father, you're part of your mom, and you also are part of America where you've grown up. I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about this, but like, you know,
no,
but like,
please,
really,
'cause it's helping me.
But like, really, like he had to make sure that he not only understood who he was, but accepted all the parts of him for him to then be able to take the rings. Right. And the rings had to like kind of mirror that as well. Like the second that he knew who he was, the rings were like, oh, cool, you're ready for us.
I also felt it was kind of like it's like similar. It doesn't have the weight that you just said, Kat, which was amazing. But it's similar to the Thor's hammer kind of thing of like, you know, people who are worthy of this will be able to control it, kind of. You know how like Captain America at the end of Avengers Endgame was able to like take Thor's hammer. You know, there's a part of me that was like,
for sure,
Shang-Chi be able to wield Thor's hammer at some point? I don't know.
Maybe, who knows? But like, I actually really thought that it was really similar to Black Panther, like that he has to like confront like his ancestors and figure out who he is before he has that power. But that's something that has to happen before he embodies a Black Panther. I really felt like it was very similar that he had to like literally not only you know, confront his ancestors, but be able to do you know, not only what his father taught him, but what his mother taught him, and then also be fighting for the new land that he's in now. So I actually really thought it was similar to that path.
Can we talk about Ben Kingsley for a bit? Because I thought he was fantastic.
We must.
Oh man, I loved him so much.
Yeah, I forgot about his role in Iron Man 3. But I still haven't gone back to rewatch it. But it slowly came back to me once I just looked at it. I was like, why did everyone know Trevor? And like everyone in the audience was like ready with the Trevor bit and was like so excited to like see him, and I was like, oh shit, I have missed something.
and Disney just released his one shot. Remember they used to do like one shot mini movies? They had just released it the week prior.
Wait, what's that? Disney one shot, what's that mean?
Basically, like Marvel used to do like a 13 minute short with some of the characters, and so after Iron Man 3 they did All Hail to the King, which is him in prison and just like what happened to him after Iron Man.
Oh, interesting.
And they did it years ago, but it's so cool because in that movie they set up what happens to him in this movie, but it was like Iron Man 3. So like it was just so far in advance that it's like, oh shit.
Right.
So if you watch it now, you should watch it. It's super short. It's fun. But he was good. And then I started looking up some of the mystical creatures, like the lion, the horse, as he calls it,
and the little what was his name? What was the little furry flying butt's name?
Oh wait, I had the article up about him
with no face.
Yes,
I loved it when Awkwafina's like, "Where's its face?"
No face,
and then it was clearly offended about being asked about its face.
His name was Morris.
Morris. Oh Morris. My goodness. Ben Kingsley and Morris.
Yeah, yes, that was great.
The television show right there.
I liked that. I liked it from a interconnectedness of like Marvel being like, yeah, it would only make sense for us to bring Trevor back. Like we got to bring back the guy that pretended to be Mandarin. The Mandalorian.
You get all your Disney.
The Mandarin.
The Mandarin, yeah.
It's all coming together. But we got to bring that guy back. Man. I loved all of that.
I thought the fight was good at the end. Oh my god, the beast.
Yeah,
but also like
weird beast.
They killed the death dealer so fast.
when he died, I was like, did he just die? I was like, is he dead? I'm like, the ninja.
Wait, is the death dealer like mask?
He dies.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't.
So he dies from the creatures that come out.
The creatures sucked his soul up.
So I think it's supposed to be like, we couldn't see him die from a mortal's hands.
Right.
So we see him die from like this hell creature that comes up.
To show you how
dangerous those creatures are. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I did thought he was going to kill the white.
The white dude was going to die, but then
that guy died, and it was like, oh
no! Wow. But they wanted to because they were like, yeah, we're gonna. I guess you're right. I guess we could have just done the opposite.
Literally in this movie, the one white dude becomes a hero at the end. No, get rid of him and get that ninja a redemption. It's one white dude, and at one point he is literally a hero. I was like, no.
Give that ninja a redemption on a t-shirt. If that's not a t-shirt, I don't know what is.
Cause think about it. Could you imagine how badass it would be at the end when the sister takes over the rings and like the ninja is just like chilling, but all of a sudden his outfit is a little bit more updated. So it's like it's a little doper, and he's just like, it's her with her slouch and he's right beside her. It's like that shit would be, and then Ronnie on the other side. Come on, baby. Come on.
And then before the big fight, they go and I'd love to see Awkwafina train too. I thought that was like so fun to watch her train. I thought that was really fun. I thought it was really great to like see the sister also be inspired by other women training. Like I thought that was really cool. There was like a line that was said. I don't know how your Thursday night dealt with it, but like when Awkwafina is like, oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing, or I'm not sure my path. And they're like, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit nothing. And like, I don't know. It's like, like it's just like such a big thing. I audibly exhaled after that line.
Yeah, I love their interactions. Like there's a scene earlier on. Oh my God, I'm so happy they got along. Cause like sometimes those movies where it's like they make women fight for no fucking reason. But it's like a scene when they're in the sister's bedroom. And Awkwafina is just so enamored, and she's enamored with the sister the whole time. And she's like, yo, you started your own underground fighting ring at 16. And it's like, and she just, it was just love to big it up, which I thought was so dope.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. I feel like everything that was set up in this was super interesting. And I agree, Dra. Like, I kind of wish that, like, there were so many characters that were interesting and fun that we lost. You know, like, we lose the dad.
Hey, oh, that ninja.
We lose the death dealer.
The guy, too, who trained Awkwafina.
Yes!
That was sad.
He died so quick. They ripped him away from us. I hate
that.
Deaths like that, I really don't like. Like, the second he said to her, don't die, I was like, if he dies... If he dies,
but you knew he was. You knew
I
he
give
was.
Give up on all Marvel movies.
Yeah, and the dad moment, dying the moment, was rough too.
Yeah,
it was so unceremonious. I just thought he was gonna,
Yeah,
I just thought he was gonna put up more of a fight. Like I wanted to see them fight side by side, like five rings and five rings, and then of course he was gonna die or get hurt saving his son, which makes sense. Yeah. But I was just like, damn, he went out,
but
quick as shit.
But he needed to get all 10 rings. From his dad, and his dad needed to see that.
And his dad, like, almost surrendered. That was a part of it. It was that, like, his dad was surrendering to his son, really.
I wanted him to still do that. Like, in my mind, he always was going to give the son the rings. Like, I was like, this is going to happen no matter what. I just thought it was going to be like, I don't know. I don't have a good relationship with my dad. So, it's like, I thought it was going to be like, oh man, we're going to have a moment.
Yeah.
A brief moment.
There's a point when, after Shang-Chi has all 10 rings, He has all of them on his wrist, and then he looks over at his dad and he tosses five over to him.
You know what I'm saying? And then they
make an X with their arms, and then they take down the dragon. That would have been dope. I mean, I would have liked that.
I thought he was gonna get hurt, maybe not die, but I do agree with Kat. Like, I like the fact that he surrenders the ring. I just thought it was gonna be more of a moment before he does it.
Rough.
Is just what I thought. And he slumped to the ground. They dropped his. I was like, damn.
He was
like,
dead.
I was like, damn.
I love the characters that they always have brunch with or drinks with.
Oh, Stephanie Zhu, yes. My friend. Yes, Stephanie, she's doing it.
Oh, y'all know her? Y'all know, yeah. She was good. I love that.
She does Marvelous Miss Maisel now, too. She's great.
Yeah.
That scene was so fun. And I love, man, he's so funny, man. God damn it. I love that, like, he raises his hand. Like, is Shang-Chi here? Present. I thought that was like,
great,
so
that was
funny.
A great ending bit.
Did you guys like the dragon real quick? Like, I mean, for me, the dragon was like so nostalgic for me. Like, you know, being born in the year of the dragon's very lucky. Yeah, like, dragons are protectors. Nice. But, you know, dragons are protectors. So like for me, when the dragon really came up, I was like, yeah, like, you know, like I felt like
I'm excited to see the dragon again. I hope that that dragon will come up in the MCU again.
I was excited to see the dragon, but not the
beast thing
because that like
part of me was like I hope this doesn't open part of me really didn't want to get to that stage.
I didn't need it, but the dragon was cool though, and I love his sister controlled it too.
You wanted to see Shang-Chi take something down that wasn't just his dad. You needed to see him like exercise his power in a way that you're like, oh, he should be a part of the Avengers, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Took down a creature that, for all intents and purposes, could have destroyed the world.
That's what they said. They in 1 week, baby, in one 2 weeks, they just saved the world. But yeah, before we go, it's like I just am happy this movie exists. I do love that, like, you know, we have Black Panther, we have Shang-Chi, we have Ms. Marvel coming out, which would be like the first Muslim female superhero. Like that'd be dope. Then you got Marvels, which has a woman, a black woman, a Muslim woman, and directed by a black woman. We got Eternals coming out.
Got it.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel. And then Marvels, the sequel to Captain Marvel, has all three of them in it. And then, you know, you got Eternals, directed by an Asian woman with a super diverse cast with the first, you know.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I hope they do it justice. I hope so, because the trailer hasn't excited me yet. But I just know her work is so beautiful and it looks beautiful. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's going to be wonderful. And that cast is fucking
looks dope. Like
it's so diverse.
Looks like it's going to be fun.
It's going to be dope as hell. I'm just curious because they're so powerful. I'm like, how does this work now? Where were you? Which I think they're going to address. Yeah. So see. And also Hollywood. Look what happens when you have movies.
Come on, Hollywood.
That don't just have white folk. Look at it. Look at it, baby. They said it couldn't be with black folk. Literally, Asian Americans, like literally. We had Crazy Rich Asians. You had Shang-Chi. Put motherfuckers in movies, baby.
Make money.
Come on.
We make money.
Come on.
I'm saying
there's no excuse to me now.
This movie was great, but I just feel like one thing would have made it better. Just one thing.
What's that?
So like just so it's like as Shang-Chi is fighting his dad, you know, and his dad got the rings and they're, you know, spinning in front of him in like a circle. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, like through the rings.
Why is your voice changing?
It's like a gust of just amazing power. And then poof, a basketball just bounces off of the dad's head and then steals like, I got you, Shang-Chi. I got you back, man. And then it's like,
I don't know why this voice makes me laugh.
It's a DC Marvel crossover, you know, because they haven't done that yet. They haven't done the
DC. Wait, so James,
does
Shaq will? Yeah, does he wield the ball? Like, how does it work?
Because he got so, and then after one ball hits, we see he has 10. There are 10 basketballs.
10 basketballs.
He's floating around. Dribbling him. 10 basketballs.
He's not dribbling them. He's doing he got the magic.
The Harlem Globetrotters. Stop it.
He's
Braylock in this.
He's Harlem Globetrotters.
You were asking him questions. I don't know.
I know. It's the voice. The voice makes me laugh, and I don't know why.
Shang-Chi, I got you, man.
All right.
I got you, buddy.
It don't make sense.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day.
Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
All right, enough of this. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like the film, but whether or not it helped the cause of more leading actors of color in Hollywood. If we think it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. Someone helped the cause, a white palm. If we think it doesn't help the cause, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
I put mine up. I beat before, James did, because James liked to go early. Three,
so you're rude.
I follow directions.
I got two fists up, and they got a ring on each finger.
And I'm still counting.
One. No, I'm ready. All right, whatever, James. Two. Mine's up first, bro.
Three.
Mine's already up, Brick.
Oh, wow. Oh, look.
Oh, Cap went up two times.
We got a lot of fists up in the air.
Both fists.
Four fists.
I mean, come on. I mean, the cast, the story, you not only make me want to like root for these people, but like you just make them so, I cannot tell you, like they're so three-dimensional. Like we were talking about, every little character, I wanted to know more backstory. I wanted to know what they were doing. It wasn't just kind of like, this person has a power. Let's all marvel at it, right? It was like, no, like there's like all these like different people, and like, you know, it takes a lot to like help someone, and like it's a community, and it was just so beautiful. And I just loved that there was so much culture aspect in, like, infused in the story as well. I was so proud. I like cried five times. I'm sure people who have heard me before understand. I just cried so much. I cried because of Pride. I cried because it was a good story. I cried because there was wonderful women characters. Also, I love not seeing Asian women be submissive in a lot of American movies, right? So I really loved that Asian women were strong in this, that they were funny, that they helped the main character in so many ways, that even like, you know, the sister was like maybe stronger.
She's fire.
I just loved it. Also, I thought it was so great.
Also, to piggyback off of Kat, it's like I try to see how she pronounced her name, but it's Minger Zan. This is her first film credit.
Incredible.
First acting credit is this movie, and she is fucking awesome. Period. No TV, no film. Her first credit is this movie, and I'm like, this movie has literally done the thing we talk about. Taking someone and pushing them to the forefront, and now I'm pretty sure she's going to be in a bunch of shit.
Yeah, give
and
it's people like, a chance. Look what happens when you give people a chance.
First credit, 34. Not to just tell people's age, but it's like, I love that she's 34. This is the first film credit. And it's like, yes, it happened for her.
Right, she's not 17. And I love it.
Yep. So I'm here for it. What?
Again, thank you guys so much for having me. I just love talking about Kat. This.
The five timer.
Oh my goodness.
The five timer.
Yes. Would you like people to follow you on social or anything?
Oh yes. I'm at Kat Lerner. I also do a little chat and shoot chew show called Catnips, where I review some LA local restaurants with my guests who have a heritage of that restaurant to help people eat more outside of their comfort foods and try new cuisines and help LA local restaurants. So I try to do that as well. And so you can check out Catnips on my Instagram. And then I also have the YouTube channel that's linked in my bio as well.
I love that. Amazing. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website, where we have links to merchandise via TeePublic. We also have a defunct Patreon, meaning it's no longer has new episodes, but there's a year's worth of episodes on there. So you can go there if you'd like to listen. It's $5 a month. And then also, if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. Here we go. There's no way I read this one before. This is, it says whitest of white. That's the username. And it says, fantastic. I love listening to you guys. Not only is it funny, but as a white man, I am learning a lot. You guys opened my eyes to a lot. I thought I was pretty aware of racial injustice in Hollywood, but clearly not. Wow, this is weird. Rhymes. You guys break it down and show an angle that my eyes would never see or think about. Thank you. Keep up the great work. Thank you for that. Yeah. You can follow me at John Braylock, James at James Third Comedy. Third is spelled 3RD.
Ooh.
Rob Milligan.
But you're not going to just do mine the same way? At Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
That's why. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Anyway, we will see you next week. Peace.
All right. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Teen to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog!
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!